Praise the Lord. I looked at the way that we're going through right now, and I really believe that God will bless you every time. Every time when the word of God goes forth, it has got the hand of God upon it. It has the anointing of God upon it. The Bible says it's the anointing of the Lord that destroys the yoke. It's not a person, it's not a place, but the anointing of the Lord, it destroys the yoke. Now, whatever yoke that you may feel, that you may think you have in your life, whatever yoke, the Bible says the anointing of the Lord is there to destroy. There is a difference between breaking and destroying. If you break anything, you can put it together again. But if you destroy it, it is completely finished. You can never again put it back. So if you allow the anointing of the Lord then to destroy whatever is of the enemy, know that you are not going back. There is no going back for you. That thing is completely finished. But you know what the devil does? He plays tricks on us. He gets our minds hooked to the experiences that we have, and therefore our mind then still plays the things that have happened in the past, and we think that that stuff is still in us. Take for an example, the Bible says when we got born again, God took the sin nature out of us. He took it out completely. You and I, because we are born again now, we do not have sin nature. But what has happened is our bodies were drained. They have experiences of what they did while they were under this master called sin nature. So now what is happening is, with you having lost that sin nature, with it having taken out of your life, your mind has not been informed as yet. And it is your responsibility to inform your mind that no, the sin nature is no longer in me. So, but then your mind, because it recorded certain things, so your mind keeps on playing the same record. And as it plays that same record, then you start thinking, I still have the same sin nature. The fact of the matter is that sin nature is completely gone. It's taken out of your life. So that is why Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not conform to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. The deliverance has come. You have been set free. What kept you in Satan's territory has been destroyed completely. But your mind still thinks you are still there. So what you just have to do is to inform your mind. Inform your mind that I am no longer the same person anymore. A new master has come in. That master is Jesus Christ, that has come into my life. And when he came in, he brought life. Death has been taken out of my life. Now I have the life of Christ inside me. And therefore, I listen to the new master that is inside me. The moment you start telling your mind that, your mind will grasp it. But it will take a while for your body to be used to this new thing that has happened to you. This is what a lot of people struggle with. They come and they accept the Lord, they receive him as their Savior and Lord. When they wake up, they think, but I still have the same thoughts. I still have the same desires. I'm still the same. I mean, having lost weight, if they wanted to lose weight, they still look exactly the same. They say, but where is this new life? Understand that you are three parts. You are spirit, soul, and body. When you get born again, your spirit gets born again. And then Your body and your soul, they get redeemed. So the price for them has been paid. But the Bible says you will receive a new body when you are resurrected from the dead. And when you receive that new immortal body, a body that will never die again, it's the Bible says your soul as well, you'll receive a new soul as well. So your soul and your body have been redeemed. The price has been paid for them, but they are not completely delivered as yet. Now, you come in now, because inside you, you are 100% like Jesus.
Amen.
The Bible says you are 100% like Jesus. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. It says, when he comes, we will see that as he is, so are we in this world. What is it that is like him? It's not our flesh. It's not our souls. It's what? It is our spirit. So our spirit is completely new. Now, what then you need to do then is to draw from the new you. Draw life from. So in that life of yours, there is health. In that life of yours, there is power. In that life of yours, there is wisdom. There is everything that is in Christ that is sitting inside you in your spirit. Now, your part is to inform your mind. Once you inform your mind of what has happened in your spirit, your mind will inform the rest of your soul, which is now what? Your will and your emotions. Then you'll find yourself starting to will, to do what God wants you to do, because you've now informed your mind. And then you'll start seeing your emotions starting to line up with what the Lord says you are. The Bible says you are delivered from depression, therefore you refuse to be depressed. The joy of the Lord now is what? Your strength. A situation that comes to depress you, your response now is what? The joy of the Lord is my strength. So I may be in that situation, but when I tap into the joy of the Lord that is within me, then what do I get? I get strength. That is how life goes for us as Christians. It's not us working hard to be who God has called us to be. So when we say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, we choose. We don't check if I can rejoice. I choose to rejoice because inside me I know that there is what? Victory. Now, what we are going through right now is a series which is entitled Arise and Shine. The Lord gave us this series, or gave us this word in the beginning of the year to say to us, this is the year that we can arise and shine. Now, when you look at that, God is instructing us. He's not saying, I wish you may arise and shine. No, he says, arise and shine. So it is in our power to arise. It is in our power to do what? To shine. He continues in Isaiah chapter 60. If you read from verse 1 to 5, he says, for your light has come. That is why you can shine. Know that your light will come. Your light has. It's in the past tense. Where is it? It's in your spirit. In your spirit, your light has come already. So draw from the light that is within you. Jesus said, rivers of living waters will flow out of your belly. And what do? You draw from the Holy Spirit that is within. Inside you, there is a perfect spirit, and there is the Holy Spirit inside you. Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, you have the Spirit of Christ inside you. Now think about this. The same Jesus Christ that walked this planet over 2,000 years ago, the Bible says what? It says, his spirit is inside you. So do you know who you are? Do you understand who is with you? Do you understand who you have? You have the God Almighty. As I'm saying, the one part that we have to do is to inform our minds. Once we have informed our minds, everything will start lining up. And it's a process. It's going to be a process, step by step. The Lord will help you to understand what He has done. So God is saying to us, arise and shine. Why? Because your light has come. And He says, the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Not that the glory of the Lord will be risen upon you. So see yourself as having what? The glory of the Lord risen upon you. How do we see ourselves in most cases? We see ourselves as poor things of the Lord, shame. We see ourselves as failure. We see ourselves as people that are lacking, that are needing. But right inside us, there is Christ. And that is why the Lord says to us, arise and shine, for your light has come. Now, what we are busy with now, we are on part number 8 of this series. So we've been going through the book of Judges. The Lord told us to go through the story of Gideon. And as we go through the story of Gideon, we see how we can arise. We've noticed that the Lord gives us so much information and at times from just one verse. That's what is going to happen today. We're going to read one verse that we have not read as yet. And from that one verse, this whole service will be based on it. The question that we are answering right now is, how do we arise and shine? That's why we're going to this book. Let's go then to Judges chapter 6. We will read today verses 31 and verse 32. Last week we went up to verse 31. So I'm just going to touch on verse 31 just to assist us to get the context of what verse 32 is all about. So let's read. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. But Joash shouted to the mob that confronted him, why are you defending Baal? Will you argue his case? Whoever pleads his case will be put to death by morning. If Baal truly is a god, let him defend himself and destroy the one who broke down his altar. That's what we were talking about last week. That you and I should never try to defend God. That is what separates him from the other gods. The other gods need you and I to do what? To defend them. But this God, he does not need us to defend him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now today, we are on verse 32. Verse 32 says, from then on, Gideon was called Jerubbaal, which means, let Baal defend himself because he broke down Baal's altar. What do you see here? This man is cursed by the whole nation. They are speaking a curse upon his life. They are saying, let Baal defend himself. In other words, let Baal destroy you like you destroyed his temple. Think about this. He is not cursed by one person. He is cursed by the whole nation. And as we read through, you will realize that the curse that was spoken upon his life, it never came to him. Why is it so? It's because of what Proverbs chapter 26 verse 2 says. It says, like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse will not land on its intended victim. People can curse you, but if it is not deserved, the curse that they speak upon your life, if it is not deserved, know that it will never come to you. People speak words against us. They say stuff against us. It's up to us to receive those words. If we receive those words, they take root in our lives. But if we refuse those words, they will never be able to take root in our lives. It doesn't matter how many they are. Look at this one man. He's being cursed by the whole nation. There were even priests of Baal that were speaking against him. They were hoping that his life would be destroyed. This man rose up to be a great and mighty leader within the nation, having been cursed by the whole nation. So I am saying an undeserved curse will never come upon your life. So now the question is, do you think there is any curse that you deserve to get? Do you believe that there is a curse that you should get? And as we continue here, we will answer that question. Because at times we come to a place where we think, I deserve a curse. I have done this and that, therefore I deserve to be cursed. And today I want to say to you, you do not deserve to be cursed. And nobody as well can curse you. If you do not receive that curse, it's never going to come. People will say whatever they want to say. People will do whatever. We are taka taka away. If you believe good, you are taka taka, they will have power over your life. If you believe good, they cannot cast those spells on you. They will never come to you. We need to understand that. People think there is a generational curse in my family. This is what has been happening. Look at my great-great-grandparents, and it comes to my parents, and you know what? My sisters and brothers, all of them are going through this. We are going through a generational curse. Who are you? Have you received Christ? Because if you have received Christ, there is no generational curse that can sit on you. A curse undeserved will never sit on the person that it is intended to. You can take the curse, but it's not meant for you. You're not supposed to take it as a child of God. I want to show you going through a story of how God protected people from a hired assassin. This person that was hired to come and curse the people of God was a well-known person that if he curses you, you will die. If he blesses you, you will be blessed. So one king went and he hired this guy and he said, come and curse Israel. I want them destroyed. Everybody knew that whatever he said, this was a powerful man. This was not like anybody else. This was a powerful man. The king himself, king of Moab, he sent distinguished guests to go and get this guy to come through. I don't think he would call you and I. Because he has not seen what we can do with our weights. But this man had a track record. Now let's look at this man with a track record of being able to curse and bless. He's now hired to curse the people of God. This would be like you now. The devil going to a wizard and say, I want you to speak a curse over Zanele, as an example. Now, we are looking at the life of Zanele now here. Here comes this wizard. He comes with his magic. And he wants to speak a curse over Zanele. Now, let's look at what is happening here. Numbers chapter 22. We will read several verses, but for now, let's go through verses 1 to 6. It says, then the people of Israel traveled to the plains of Moab and camped east of the Jordan River, across from Jericho. Balak son of Zippor, the Moabite king, had seen everything the Israelites did to the Amorites. And when the people of Moab saw how many Israelites there were, they were terrified. Now understand, people will attack you because you cause them to be afraid. They see you as bigger and better than them. They will not curse you if they think you are below them. Take that. Take that. You may think that they are cursing me because I'm below them. Know that, no. they see something in you. They may not have seen the full power or your full manifestation as yet, but they can see the potential in you. Then they start speaking against you. They can see. So when people start speaking against you, know that, okay, now they can feel me. I have arrived. Know that. Know that. God is on your side. They will never speak against you. We fear nothing. Verse 4, the king of Moab said to the elders of Midian, this mob will devour everything in sight, like an ox devours grass in the field. So Balak, king of Moab, sent messengers to call Balaam, son of Beor, who was living in his native land of Pethor near the Euphrates River. His message said, look, a vast horde of people has arrived from Egypt. They cover the face of the earth and are threatening me. Can you see that? These people were just on their way to Canaan. They were not going to do anything to him. Israel was a peaceful nation. As they were going to Canaan, they did not intend to fight anybody. They fought those people that stood against them. That's how we are as well. We don't start a war, but don't start a war with us. That's how we should be. We never started. Verse 6, please come and curse these people for me because they are too powerful for me. Then perhaps I'll be able to conquer them and drive them from the land. I know that the blessings fall on any people you bless and curses fall on people you curse. Numbers 22, verse 12. This is the response. But God told Balaam, this I love, do not go with them. You are not to curse these people, for they have been blessed. This is God's response to you. God will never sell you out. God will never at any time allow a curse to come over your life. God will never speak a curse over your life. You go to some places, people tell you that we can curse you. That's not God. Those people are not operating with the Spirit of God Almighty. God's Spirit for you speaks blessings only upon your life. So when people start speaking curses over you and they claim to be Christians, know that they have a different spirit. It's a totally different spirit. It's not the Spirit of Christ that is inside them. God would not allow the enemy to curse his people. So we have a better covenant based on better promises. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 6, that is what the Bible tells us. So if God could do this for Israel, the Bible says God will do much more for you and I. Was Israel perfect when God spoke these words to them? No. They had decided to follow him, to walk with him. And God said, I have everything that I need and I will work with you. I'll get you where I want to be. You must understand the process of transformation that has to take place in our lives. It's not done by us. Only God does that. If we do it in our power, we come to a place where we give up because we fail. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to do his work, he will take it to completion. That's the challenge that Christians have. Understand, my spirit is saved. My spirit is exactly like Christ, but my flesh is not. So what do I need to do? I need to draw from my spirit, allow what is in my spirit to eventually influence my flesh. Then my flesh will change. It's not by power, nor by might, but it's by my spirit. It's God that does this. We are redeemed. We are rescued from the curse of breaking God's law. Now, this is one challenge that people have. They say, I've broken God's laws. Therefore, I deserve to be cursed. Today, I'm here to say to you, you have been redeemed from the curse that is supposed to come to you for breaking God's laws. Where do I get that from? Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. The law said, if you don't do this, this would happen to you. You understand that? So now this verse says, you have been rescued from the curse that was pronounced by the law. So everything that the law pronounced over you to say, it's a curse that will come over your life. That curse will never come to you. Because now you've been what? Rescued. It says, when he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse. So the curse that was supposed to come to you, Mbali, Jesus Christ took it upon his body. So that curse has no right over your life. That's what the word says. So know that you breaking the law, it does not bring curses to you anymore. So now what is God trying to do here? He's trying to make you understand that in this house, in this family that you belong to, your home, your heavenly home, you belong, you are a child. When my children break some of the rules of the house, you know what? I don't cast them out. I do not say they are no longer my kids anymore. And me now, that's a natural father. How much God? Do you think God will throw you out? God will allow a curse to come and destroy your life. Because when the devil brings a curse, he's not here just to give you a little punishment. No. His idea is to completely destroy you. So do you think God would allow the devil then to come bring that curse over you just because of what you've done that is wrong? No. He cannot. But then God is doing this in a just way. In a sense that he's not saying, I'm overlooking your sins. I've decided because I love you so much, your sins do not mean anything. No. God went and he paid the price for your sins. So that nobody could come. So the law cannot come and say, hey, what about this one? The law will never do that. Because the law was satisfied. That's the beauty of our relationship with our Father. Beauty. So we are free, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus Christ did. So no curse can come over your life. So when people start talking about generational curses that will come upon you, they don't understand the word. They don't understand the word. So when you face as well people that are well known to be able to curse, understand that the curses that they speak over your life will never come to you. Know that. You are the only person that can allow them to come over your life. But God has said they do not deserve to come to you. Amen. So people can call you whatever. They can call you failure. You will never be failure. You will never be failure as long as you side with God. But if you decide to side with them, you listen to what they say, failure you will be. Because those words, we live in a spiritual realm as well. There is a devil that is out there to enforce whatever negative word that is spoken over your life and you receive it. He is there to enforce that word. But if you refuse him, he's not going to be able to do that. So know who you are. If you know who you are, you will see what will happen. Praise the Lord. Let's continue. Look at this now. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse. For what? For our wrongdoing. So we were supposed to be cursed for our wrongdoing, but we are no longer going to be cursed. Verse 14. Then it says, through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham. And God does not say he promised to Israel. No, he goes back to the beginning. The man that he started with, where God gave the promise of blessings without any condition. Where he said, I'll just bless you. Just follow me. As you follow me, I will bless you. And we know that as this man walked with the Lord, he gradually improved. He did not start well. The Bible tells us that God called him out of a place where he served other gods. And when he got to Egypt, the Bible says his wife was so beautiful that when he got there, he thought, shoot, these guys will kill me. because of my wife. Then he went to his wife. He said, my wife, you know how much I love you, but I love me more. I love me more. I'm using that language like that. I love me more. Because he's saying, you know what? Just please, I love me. I love myself more than I love you. Protect my life. Let them take you. That's what Abraham did. That is what Abraham did. He said, say to them, you are my sister. He told half-truth. Of course, the lady, Sarah, was his half-sister. He married his half-sister. Those days, they did that stuff. So, he married his half-sister. So now he told the half-truth. So he thought, you know what, I'm really not going all the way lying here. Just a little bit lie, you know, white lies. The Bible says God protected him, protected his wife. And when they left Egypt, he was so wealthy. The man lies, God blesses him. And the guy went again, he went to another king, Abimelech. He did exactly the same thing. This one is my sister. Why did he do it? One motivation. Protect his life. Save his life. And the Bible says God protected and God threatened Abimelech. He said, if you touch the prophet's wife, I'll kill you. The lying man was called by God a prophet. So God goes back here now. He goes back to Abraham. He says, the blessings that were pronounced over Abraham, that you are blessed regardless of who you are, of what you do, you are blessed because I have chosen you to be mine. He says the same blessing is over you because of what Christ did for you. So you don't have to buy God. You don't have to come and give things to him so that God can bless you. No, God has blessed you already. We need to get this. He doesn't want any sacrifice from you. He's not interested. He was satisfied by the sacrifice that was made by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That was it for him. He said, I'm cool with this. This is it. So when God blesses you, don't start thinking, God is blessing me because I do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, God is blessing you because of Jesus. It says, so that we who are believers might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Now let's look at this. The enemy is persistent. Remember, we are talking about Israel. The enemy is really persistent. He again sent for Balaam after he first responded by saying God would not allow him to curse Israel. Remember in verse 12, he said, do not go with them and you will not be able to curse what I have blessed. This king was persistent. He sent again another delegation to come and get this man, this hired assassin, to come and assassinate the nation of God. This is how the devil comes. He comes again and again and again and again trying to get through to you. He is persistent. If you think you'll give him one jab and then he runs away, forget it. He's coming back again. He keeps on trying again and again and again and again. Now let's look at what happened. So God responded to that by saying to Balaam, then he must go with them. But when he goes with them, he must only say what God allows him to say. But the story, you must know that God does not go back on his word. The Bible tells us that Balaam loved the reward he was promised. So he wanted to go again. God, do you remember God said to him, do not go with them? When they come back again, why should he still ask God? God, should I go with him? The Bible tells us clearly that no, the man actually loved the reward that he was promised. So that's why he thought perhaps God may change his mind. And the fact of the matter is, no. God gave this message when he went the second time. So this was the message Balaam delivered. Balak summoned me to come from Aram. The king of Moab brought me from the eastern hills. Come, he said, curse Jacob for me. Come and announce Israel's doom. Verse 8, But how can I curse those whom God has not cursed? How can I condemn those who the Lord has not condemned? You know what happens in the world? The world keeps on condemning us for our sins. But that means nothing. Because God does not condemn us anymore. Because of what Christ did. So know that. Know that you are not condemned before God because of your sins. God is working. He knows that you are not a finished product, Zanele. God bless you, my sister. You are not a finished product. So God is working with us, each one of us. So allow Him to take you step by step. If you allow Him, you'll see a gradual improvement in your life. And when you look back, you'll think, wow, look at how far I've walked with the Lord. But if you want an instant change in your life, I'm telling you, you'll be surprised. Because nothing will happen. You'll be frustrated. So Balak told Balaam to try again, even after that. Numbers 23, verses 18 to 23. This was the message Balaam delivered. Rise up, Balak, and listen. Hear me, son of Zippor. God is not a man, so He does not lie. Some people think God lies. He is not human, so He does not change His mind. Once He says you are blessed, He means that you are blessed. He will never change His mind. Has He ever spoken and failed to act? Has He ever promised and not carried it through? Listen, I received a command to bless. God has blessed and I cannot reverse it. No misfortune is in His plan for Jacob. No trouble is in store for Israel. Think about you. You have better promises. There is no misfortune that God has kept in store for you. No trouble. So when you think about your life, don't see trouble coming your way. It won't be coming from God. So then stick with Him. When you stick with Him and believe Him for the best only, you'll see your life. The Bible says the way of the righteous become brighter and brighter every day. Brighter and brighter and brighter. That's how God works. You must remember, God will not promote us more than where our character can keep us. The devil will either stop you. If he cannot stop you, he will push you to go faster than you should so that you can crash and burn. That's not how God works. As God promotes you, the Bible tells us that He will bring you to the point of where your character can carry you. Remember when God brought Israel to come and take the land of Canaan, what did He say? He said, you will take this land little by little. Why? Because if they went in and they killed all the nations that were there, animals would rise. That's what the Bible says. Wild animals would rise, and then those wild animals would then attack them and kill them. So what then God allowed them was to conquer Canaan little by little. So cooperate with God. Don't be in a hurry. He knows what He's doing. So, remember Psalm 91. Here, no trouble is in store for Israel. Psalm 91. God says, 1,000 may fall on your side, and 10,000 on your right hand side will fall, but it shall not come to you. Take that promise. Know that. Trust Him. Believe Him. Now it says, for the Lord their God is with them. He has been proclaimed their King. God brought them out of Egypt for them. He is as strong as a wild ox. That's how God shows Himself on our behalf. If you look at how God delivers us, how He sets us free, how He sets us up, you can see that it's the Lord's doing. Praise the Lord. He loves doing that. So no curse can touch Jacob. No magic. Huh? Did you see that? No magic has any power against Israel. If our trust is in God, God will protect us. God will not allow them to be successful. So you should not be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. Trust in the Lord. Don't trust yourself. Trust in the Lord. Balak told Balaam to try again. And this shows how persistent the enemy can be in trying to curse you. But praise God, because he will never allow him to succeed. So what is your part? James chapter 4 verse 7. When the devil keeps on trying, it seems as if he's speaking more curses, and it looks as if those curses are coming to pass in your life. Resist him. James chapter 4 verse 7. It says, submit yourself unto God and resist the devil. And as you resist him, he will flee from you. This is one thing that God will not do for you. He's not going to resist the devil on your behalf. This is where the body of Christ failed to understand how to enforce the victory that God has given to us. God has blessed us. No curse will come over our lives anymore. But the enemy is persistent. He keeps on trying his luck every now and then. So now what needs to happen then is, as he keeps on trying his luck, your part and my part is to what? To resist. Speak God's word. Speak God's promises over your life. And as you do that, the Lord will come. Numbers 24, verses 3 to 9 show how God continued to bless Israel as the enemy was attempting to curse them. So Israel only experienced, this is important now, Israel only experienced a curse after Balaam told Balak how to make them stumble before God. Can you see how much Balaam wanted the reward? Because he kept on trying and God kept on blessing these people. So then what Balaam went and did, he taught Balak how to trip up Israel so that Israel would fall before God. And when Israel would fall before God, only then a curse could come upon them. Where do you see that? This is Jesus speaking now in the book of Revelation. He says, but I have a few complaints against you. You tolerate some among you whose teaching is like that of Balaam, who showed Balak how to trip up the people of Israel. So God kept on blessing them, but the enemy then, he decided to come up with a new idea. He says, I can't stop this blessing. So maybe what I can do, let me cause them to fall before God. That's what the devil will do. He will try to move you out of God's protection. And only then the curses that the devil is speaking over your life can come to pass. So do not allow him to move you out of the Lord. Now check this. It says he taught them to sin. How? By eating food offered to idols. And by committing sexual sin. Now think, look at this. How did he get them? These guys were murmuring. They were committing many other sins. But why these two in particular? You must think about that. So when you go to Numbers chapter 25, verses 1 to 3, you see what Balaam taught Balak. He got the men and women of this nation of Moab, he got them to intermarry Israel. Not just intermarry as well, but have relationships outside of marriage as well. But then what did it do then? It brought them to a point where they started worshipping the gods of Moab. Remember, John chapter 16, the Bible tells us that the only one sin that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of is the sin of not believing in Jesus Christ. The moment you believe in another God, you put yourself out of God. You allow then the devil to be able to come in and attack you. Now, how did he get them to this point? You must remember the relationship between the men and the women is the most powerful relationship in the world. There is nothing as powerful like that. And the Bible says the greatest sin in the world is sexual sin. Because it says all the other sins are done outside your body. But this one is done in your body. It affects you much more than the other sins. So, what it does then, it opens you up to other gods. So the only way that the devil can cause the enemy to be able to curse you, he's going to cause you to start following other gods. And when you start following other gods, God does not want competition. He says he must be the only God that you serve. And that's where the issue comes in. Now when you mix, the problem comes. Curses will come to you. So, this man, we see what he did there. And this is given in Numbers chapter 25, verses 1 to 3 and verse 11. Now, the question is, why were these people blessed? How come? The answer is found in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. The word says, the Lord did not set his heart on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other nations, for you were the smallest of all nations. Rather, it was simply that the Lord loves you. Now this you must know. When God blesses you and he does things for you, it's not because you are smart, you are good looking, you are stronger. No. It is because he loves you. That's the only reason why he blesses you. And he was keeping the oath that he had sworn to your ancestors. Now remember now, he made a promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, their ancestor. He said, I will bless you. So the reason why God blesses us is because of the promise, the oath that he made with Jesus Christ. He said, you pay their price, I'll treat them with favor. So we can access the favor of God because of the promise that God gave to Jesus. Praise the Lord. So that is why the Lord rescued you with such a strong hand from your slavery and from the oppressive hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now, in conclusion, people cursed Gideon, but that curse didn't touch him. So it doesn't matter who's cursing you. Understand that that curse cannot touch you. A curse causeless shall not touch you. The devil cannot successfully curse you unless you cooperate with him. And how do you cooperate with him? Is you start following other gods. You start putting your trust in other gods. You take your trust away from the Lord. Then you're cooperating with the devil because you are now saying he's not the only Lord. God didn't allow a curse to come upon Israel because he loved them and was keeping his covenant with their forefathers. So God will not allow a curse to come to you because Christ took it for you. That's it. That's the end of our message today. God will not allow a curse to come upon you now. Know that it will never come upon your life. What is coming upon your life is the blessing. So when I speak a blessing over you, say amen. Receive that blessing that God has given you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak God's blessings upon you. And I say you are blessed coming in. You are blessed going out. Everything that you touch prospers. I speak that you are the head and not the tail. I speak that you are on top and not beneath. I declare that Christ fights your battles, and in the name of Jesus Christ, you have his victory over every area of your life. And in Jesus' mighty name, as we start this week, and after you've received this word, as you meditate on it, I declare that the word of God will be fulfilled in your life. Thank you, Father, for the protection in Jesus' name in all their ways. Everywhere we go, we are blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you praise, Father. Hallelujah. Amen.